Blog Talk Radio.
I got about 30 minutes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I've heard some, I guess is that laughter in the background? Hey, you guys, mute that phone. Get off of the other one. Do whatever you have to do to join in with the Dr. Cappuccino Show today. It's a little breezy and a little gray here in Delaware County, but I know you guys are up and ready to join in the conversation. We have a topic that we've been trailing for really about 6 weeks, and that topic, show topic, is how to get out of hell, part 6, and how to bring someone else out with you. And you know, the Dr. Cappuccino Show, I think there's a lot of good information for those that might be undergoing extreme stress. They might be thinking about jumping off the tallest building in the universe. They might be thinking about shooting 3, 4, 5 people, whatever it is. You're at the right place at the right station, the Dr. Cappuccino Show. And as you know, we've been carrying our illustrious William Harrison alongside of us because, you know, he's a great man on a great mission. And any time you dedicated your life to help others, then, of course, you're doing something great. But, you know, as far as we're going to stress out today with, we know that you might need some help. You might not be telling your next-door neighbor. You might not be telling your mate. You might not let your children know you're about to lose your mind. Oh, my goodness, so many is reporting that. But today, help is on the way. You know, every week we're having some kind of a show topic that is not just about, you know, getting money and learning how to be beautiful. You know, you're beautiful today and you're not tomorrow. We're not stressing those kind of topics on the show. We know people need real help. And you can dress up, you can put on those fancy shoes, you can have big money in the bank. But let me tell you something. If you're in misery, all of that does no good. So right now I'm going to see if we can bring in Colonel Harrison. I see you guys clicking in. Colonel William Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Yes, I'm with you and your listening audience. I thank you all. I'm joining you from the church in the heart of the nation's capital, and we're participating in Thanksgiving Bash's giveaway, but I broke away from that project to join in the show again. So thanks for inviting me again.
Well, thank you so much, sir, for letting us know you're giving away turkeys, but you're going to be giving away a food that will last for an eternal life. And that's here on the show.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. They're going to eat 1 or 2 days, but what you're going to give our people here today is some life-sustaining, life-giving food. And I'm so happy that you're on the show. Now, you know, we've been trailing for 6 weeks on how to get out of hell as our show topic. I don't know how we're going to be able to stop because every day, every second of the day, every hour of the day, every whatever of the day, we're finding that people are just dropping like flies. They are killing themselves. They're killing others. And here on the West Coast, we have man-made and non-man-made catastrophes that are taking people out, such as the Wolseley fire and also the Camp fire. It's not too far from L.A. We're counting about 2 hours' drive. So Los Angeles is already started just putting up enforcement and certain roads that might have a lot of brush, you know, they're having people on the lookout. There's a lot going on here. But whether that's happening in L.A. County or not, we know all across the nation, people are suffering. Oh, my God, people are fighting in the streets. Road rage is crazy. Women are fighting over apples in a grocery store. Men are hitting people over the head with whiskey bottles in the back of liquor stores. I mean, it looks like something or some terrible force has just dropped a lot of black juju deuce on people because everyone is angry. They're upset. They're mad. They're giving you the fingers out of their cars. They're rushing in, hitting people, some on purpose, some not. Colonel Harrison, what do you think is going on in that world?
Well, Doc, and listening audience, we have chaos. The absence of peace is chaos, and the absence of chaos Of course, it is perpetrated by violence, discontent, insecurity, dissatisfaction, lack of life provisions, shelter, food, clothing, a lack of income. So our society is breaking down, and the one fabric that holds a society together is love. And we have deviated from that, and there's a misconception of love. People think of love as it pertains to intimacy and relationship between a man and woman, so forth and so on, or otherwise. But love, I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about heavenly love. Me being concerned about my brother, my sister, my neighbor, external people other than my immediate family. So we are getting away from love, and because of that, society has broken down, and people, patience has worn thin because they have lack of resources, they're frustrated, and they take out their anger and their anxiety toward other innocent people. So I'll pause and having said that, though.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to say this. Okay, the show topic, how to get out of hell. You know, I might know about some of those things you are talking about, but I'm still suffering. I might know, you know, if I need some food, I might can, you know, open my door up, start begging. I might could walk down the street, start begging. I might could get on a bus or a train and start begging. But right now, with the time that we have allotted for us on this show, let's go through some steps. You know, we always do that, like maybe 1, 2, 3, 4. And you can hear the urgency in my voice. There's nothing trailing in my voice. I'm serious, like you're about this show. So let's start out with number one. What ideas, what methods, or ways and means of assistance can we give people that are hurting? I mean, absolutely hurting. We have told them in our last shows, you know, about prayer and about love. Well, let's kind of step out of that. They know that we told them that. Let's talk about this thing called love maybe in just a few moments. Let's give them some practical ways. If I'm suffering, if I'm on my bed with a gun to my head, I'm not going to start thinking about love, loving anyone, because obviously I don't love myself. Somehow I stumbled into a bad way, bad situation, bad circumstances. So let's do the 1, 2, 3 like we normally do. Let's start with number one. A person is suffering. He's broke. He's hungry. He doesn't have anywhere to live. Circumstances have just torn his life up. What can we give that person right now? There's somebody listening in the prison cell, from the prison cell. There is somebody listening from a couch and they're half drunk. There's somebody listening from a back porch thinking about, hey, this is my last day on earth. You know, I'm going to kill myself. That's it. Let's really step up here to the plate and say, okay, number one, yeah. Come on, start us off, because I got some ideas, too. I want you to start us off. Give us some up in your voice. Start us off.
Number one, Doc, I believe we have to give people hope. I really believe we have to give people hope. And we give people hope by giving them assistance, giving them encouragement, and giving them access to resources. So hope is very important. If I'm doing bad today, or I'm having a hard time today, or I'm in a pit today, and you give me hope and assistance on how I can get out of that pit, I think hope is very important. There's a lot of despair. There's not a lot of hope. Number one thing I'm thinking of, I believe, is hope. Hope will help encourage people and have them hope on, hold on, and look for the next step. So I think first we got to reinstill hope in people that they can get out of hell, they can survive, they can make it, they're not going to perish. And so I'll pause.
Okay, now I'm in the bottom of hell. You know, there's about 50 up in here with me. Dirty, nasty, stinking. I'm in hell. The topic, how to get out of hell. I'm in hell. Now, that hell might be caused by a number of things like we just mentioned. So am I hearing you to say we're going to go over to the pit of hell and lean over and say, I got some hope for you? Now, I want you to really clarify that, because we have people from all walks of life listening on this show, and they love you. So the topic is how to get out of hell. Okay, I'm walking over to the edge of hell, the edge of despair. So do I lean over there, see these 50 plus one people in there gnashing their teeth? Do I lean over there and say, I'm going to give you some hope? Or what do we do? I want you to really clarify that, because when you said we need to give them hope, number one, clarify who's going to give them that hope. Number two, clarify, well, what is hope? I'm starving to death. I'm ready to kill myself. Explain what that is. If you're going to offer them hope, well, what is hope? And then three, what is that hope going to do? So you're standing at the edge of hell. You're going to offer them hope. I think we sure better tell them what hope is, because I'm thinking if we start talking about some hope, they're going to still be in hell. And when it becomes nightfall, we're going to walk off, not in hell ourselves. So let's kind of break that down, because people are listening and they said, and they might have tuned in one more time before they pulled that trigger. So I don't think saying, okay, here's some hope. Please clarify, Colonel, because you're also a minister, and people have been stepping away from our institutions because they're saying these ministers are not making sense out of anything. The edge of hell, there's 50 people in it. Talk to us about this hope that you're going to be giving them.
The hope I'm talking about is not only just verbal, but I'm talking about tangible hope. Hope translating into help, reaching down wherever they are, helping to pull them up, pull them out, giving a helping giving a helping hand, and walking hand in hand, step by step, assisting with providing the resources they need so they won't lapse back into hell. So we actually have to physically, hands on, for lack of a better term, to help pull our brother or sister, a man, a woman, a child up out of the pits of where they are physically, and then assist them with whatever needs they are, whether it's food, clothing, shelter, whatever. And not only the church, but the neighbors in the community, where our brothers, keeper, everybody has to help. So the help has to be physical, it has to be real, it has to be tangible, and we have to be committed to doing it.
Right, and we've got to have that time, and most of all, you just said earlier, love. No one is going to get out and try to pull anyone out of any bad circumstance if they don't care about them. You mentioned love. That's a very strong, loving someone, that's an action word. That's a very potent word, because really you don't see people going around saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Not even in a marital or other circumstances, people are not saying that. You know, they have these people, you know, around them every day. They're taking them for granted. Yeah, they're here. If they're not here, too bad, fine. You don't hear that word. So I think really to stretch out there on both feet with outstretched hands, trying to reach these people, that's a good idea, but no one's going to do that without love. So now we're talking about, I think, maybe going out into the community. And we talk about this all the time. We keep talking about it because, number one, it's not being done. Number two, no one else, I think, is really talking about it, but maybe one or two organizations. But to get someone out of hell, number one, you got to go to hell. You got to stand at hell's gate. You got to look and see who's in hell. And then you yourself have got to be strong enough to get on your belly, put a hand down, or go run, get a rope or something. This is allegorical at its best. But I'm thinking in order to get someone out of hell, you yourself, number one, you got to be out of hell yourself, and you got to be strong enough to reach in there now to actually do that. I think I'm hearing, and Colonel, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to eat the oatmeal too. Okay, I'm thinking that person has got to, number one, realize that someone is in hell, that someone needs some help somewhere, and that I've got to put my shoes and top coat on and get the hell out of my almost to be, soon to be hell, and go out and find those that are at hell's gate, those that are in hell's pit. Wouldn't you agree that that might be the best way, I think, to mobilize the community, mobilize the neighborhood? Those that think they're all that and more in a bag of chips, they are the ones, so-called organizers of the human race. I think we need to get people interested. And again, you mentioned love. They've got to love themselves first before they can go out and try to do anything with anyone else. I'm thinking that might be one way to on a road of recovery for people that are suffering. If I'm suffering, I'm hungry, I'm sick, I'm just full of disease and mental illness, I'm not going to get up off of my couch if I have one and try to go beg anybody to do anything. You are a minister, and I know you and I talked about this before, the great holy sage, the great one named Jesus, he went out to the people. And see, we have this problem here, even from our legislative, our political offices on down. When they want to run for office, you see them all in the neighborhood, knocking on doors, shaking hands, going into the churches, talking, "Hi, I'm Jogo. I'm running for district council number 8 and all of that. They're out there with the people. Now, they're criticized because if they, once they get out there and they win, you don't see them anymore. But they are not fools enough not to know you got to go to the people. You can't sit up in there and think you're going to win nothing because no one's going to know really who you are. They're not going to be able to smell you, see you, touch you, none of that. And I'm told in political circles it takes that and more. So I'm thinking like what you just said as far as even being our brother's keeper. We have got to somehow make up our mind once and for all, before we all perish, to get out and go to the people. Go send whoever you're talking to, cripple, maim, in wheelchairs. I see people standing on corners with those Watchtower magazines in wheelchairs, canes, legs cut off, in blizzing weather. So there's no excuse, hallelujah, for anyone else not to really do it. So I'm sick, busted, and disgusted. I'm not going out begging. My feet hurt. And my body, it rakes in pain. You got to go to the people. When you want to rescue someone from a burning house, you don't stand talking about it. You run in there if you're trained to run into fire. You run in. You get those people. I've been watching the search and rescue all week regarding these fires, and these firemen is doing just that. They're running in. They are saying they're running into the fires to seek and search and see who's left burning, so we just can't get away from it. So I think as people of the cause, we need to think in terms, since everything looks very shady and shaky in that area, I think we need to think about mobilizing groups to really go out, and you mentioned this before with our tents of prayer, to go out, seek the people, pray for them, whether they want it or not. Whether they want to hear it or not, all they can do is curse you away from their door. I know what I'm talking about there. So can we encourage the people that are able-bodied to maybe form, even from their own home, form groups like the early church? They met there in the home, Priscilla and Aquila. We could talk all day about that. Today, our people, clergymen, is not doing that. So, Colonel, how can you help the audience to know that while we're talking about helping them get out of hell, we're also calling on the carpet those that are supposed to be doing that? Give us some advice on that.
Okay. Let me use as a vivid illustration something that is happening right before our very eyes. It's been happening over the past a few days, a week and a half, 2 weeks or whatever. The campfires that's burning out of control, and more than 1,000 people are missing, and 71 recently remains have been found, and so forth and so on. Fire is actually hell. That's the essence of hell. The example or the comparison analogy the Bible gives of hell is called a place of the lake of fire. And so what the rescuers are doing, they're going in and they're seeking and they're searching to find out if there are people that that they can save or find the remains of those who have perished. We got to go in and use the same principle, the same philosophy, seek and save those which might be stranded, have need in the pit of hell. A fire is a fire, whether it's a lake of fire or whether it's a campfire. We got to go in and try and help them get out of the fire before they perish, because the fire now is threatening them, and they're in hellfire. In the future, if we don't do something for them, then we may be caught up in the hellfire or the campfire. So we got to do. We got to reach out. We got to go out and do what we need to do to help people now that's at need, and not wait until they almost perish. So we got to be proactive and do it now. The church got to go out. City officials got to go out. Neighbors got to go out. Our families got to go out. Everybody got to reach out and help those that are in pit of hell. Help snatch them out and provide them with assistance.
My God, you know what? I just felt that. Oh, my goodness. There's some power there in your word, because, you know, we were getting off this Lord God. But oh, my God, you got some power on you, Colonel Harrison. You got some Holy Ghost power. Yes, that most certainly is right. While we're sitting back, looking on them, running in the grocery stores, overlooking them, running past them, you know, studies have shown it. You know, history repeats itself, and it's going to repeat itself. When a person that's able-bodied don't help those that are not able-bodied, there's a phrase that they're going to soon find them looking into their window. Isn't that awesome? I heard that this week. So from history, from the days of Roman Empire, the Inquisitors, the Renaissance, Dark Ages, we can tiptoe all the way through history. This is what will happen. There's going to be some. Not a lot, but if we don't get over to that pit of hell and start looking in, it's going to be some that are going to be ambitious enough to kind of like stand on the shoulders of the weak and the worn. They're going to find their way out of there. They ain't coming up out of hell. I don't want to see nobody coming up out of hell without the right help, because what they're going to do, no one is going to be safe. They're going to find their way through the streets, the highways, and the byways. They're coming back to Jerusalem. You know, I'm just using that as an acronym. They're going to come back. They're going to be breaking into homes. They're going to be assaulting people in their home. They're going to come on in and get all the food that's in that home. It is not going to be nothing nice. So the wise thing to do through wise people is to see that before it actually happens and get to them before they get to us. I don't want them up out of hell without the right help, without the right medication, without the right therapy, without the right mental help. I don't want to see them. But I know some that are already in hell now, they're not going to stay there. They're going to find a way out of there, and it's not going to be the right way, and they're going to find themselves running in, trying doorknobs, getting in, assaulting people. It's going to be mayhem in the streets. And with people making up their mind now that they want to shackle the police, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that, it's going to be bad. And I understand some are just passing through alleyways, seeing altercation, and they keep on going. It's going to be bedlam and mayhem. And this is why your book on how to get out of chaos, how to get out of a chaotic hell-like state, is doing so well right now. You wrote the book a couple of years ago, and, you know, it's, wow, it's really talking about exactly what is happening today, the end times in those last chapters. I understand you're going to be going on your book tour while you're going to be assisting people out of hell. So I think we need to form these neighborhood councils. You know, all they do is go sit there, you know, they eat the scone, a sandwich, drink some coffee, and they start talking about, you know, how bad crime is. But we need to do more than that, because it's only criminals that are committing crime. So before a person becomes into a criminalized state, and they would have to come out of hell to even wear that title, we, those that love, those that proponent love, those that keep talking about love, those that keep on talking about, yeah, I this, we're not doing anything. If people is nibbling around hell trying to get out, they want to get out. They done fell over in backwards. Now I need help. Before we close, and we have quite a bit of time left, what are some of the ways that we can get started, Colonel Harrison, on using ourselves. If it's an hour a week, I know several organizations demand 10 hours a week. You better be out there preaching and teaching and handing this literature out. You 10 hours a week. We won't even ask people 10 hours a week. 1 hour a week, a friendly smile over hell's gate can sometime encourage someone to help us lift them out. What can we do, Colonel, let's say you and I, if we wanted to get something started on this program to help others? Give us some ideas. Give us two ideas.
One idea, Dot, is to find a community-based location wherein it would become a resource for a resource center for people to, depending upon what community is, the population, and so forth. That's a start. Community-based center where people can come to and seek assistance, whether it's a church, whether it's a shelter, whatever it is. That's one thought to come to mind. Others, I think the city or others can establish a citywide hotline for people to call in toll-free that they can get the assistance that they need. So I think there need to be community-based centers throughout certain communities where people are down and out and downtrodden and others. And I think it needs to be a citywide hotline where people can access that hotline. So they have two options, go to a physical community center or they can telephonically call this toll-free hotline to request assistance, and assistance can be arranged and dispatched, or they can be referred where they need to go, or someone can pick them up like they do in the winter. The temperature below 32 degrees, the shelters are open, the shelter vans are out moving about, going out seeking people to get them out so that they won't freeze, get them out of the weather so they won't freeze to death. So the same principle will work with outreach and trying to help get people out of their plight and the hell that some of them are in terms of resources and shelter and food and so forth.
You know, I just love what you said, because there's a gentleman here in L.A., Ron Fisher. He's just such a great man. He's the senior deputy to our county supervisor. And I was just thinking, you know, our supervisor has, you know, a lot of experience. He has a lot of friends. He's made a lot of friendships in the L.A. County area. He's doing just such a great job. My father used to tell us, you know, watch that Mr. Mark Willie Thomas. He said, I love that young man. He's going to be somebody. He says this all the time. He'd be sitting at the table. He said, okay, here is again, Mark Willie Thomas. He just loved him. Now, these are some what you just said are some of the ideas that we can actually put together. Now, I do know that there's also the tents of prayer. This is something that your organization is working on for 2019. And I'm thinking that if we could go neighbor, if we could get neighbor by neighbor. And I'm saying that because neighbors and neighborhoods know what's going on in the neighborhood. And we had a organization, because at one point I was the acting spokesperson for the Second District Concerned Citizens. And we were talking about going in, setting up neighborhood watch houses, safe houses. You know, if you're running from a gang member, whatever, here's a safe house. It didn't go well because many didn't want to, you know, be on the end of that. You know, I come in here and here someone's running in behind me, and I got to, you know, close the door. They may shoot my home up. So it didn't go. Thinking, you know, in our next lesson, and I call these life lessons, these topical shows, how to get out of hell. Part 7, I think we need to concentrate on I am. My brother's keep. I think to talk about to spread this a little more on neighborhoods. Set up, find homes in neighborhoods which could be one block, and start from that level where people in the neighborhood can look at each other and they can call and they can see who has the trip to the doctor. I think that's what we're going to do, because now we've opened up a well, and I do think I'm going to call that gentleman and talk to him about our show, maybe send a copy of it. But Colonel Harrison, you're always such a, oh, my God, you're such a marvel when you come on the show. Thank you so much. I don't think this show would be too much without you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for tuning into the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Don't forget us next week. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And, of course, if you need us, we're at mothernature7@gmail.com. Warry1943@aol.com. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you again, Colonel. We'll see you next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show.